Word on Today FM.
It's Will O'Callaghan subbing in for Matt Cooper on Tuesday's Last Word. And we also have Dave Hanratty, thankfully, subbing in at the last moment for John Cadell on The Last Word in Music. So John's picks go out the window. We were going to go with the Beatles because the Beatles anthology is to be remastered by Peter Jackson's company. So that's not going to be the case. So we won't have Dave's picks. We will have Dee Reddy's picks here. And we're going to look ahead to Electric Picnic 2025, which gets underway this weekend as well. But Dee, there is only one place to start, and that is Taylor Swift's Instagram. From just a few minutes ago, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are officially engaged. Your English teacher, she says, and your gym teacher are getting married.
Yeah, and she announced it on her own Instagram with the caption that you just read out there. It, like, for all intents and purposes, the picture that she posted looks like they could have already tied the knot, because they're surrounded by very fancy looking flowers in a beautiful garden, and then there's a close up shot of a diamond wedding ring. I don't think anyone though is really surprised that they have taken this next step. They started going out in 2023, I think it was. They made their relationship official, you know, largely through her going along and supporting him at matches. And then he was a regular fixture on the Eras tour as well. People were often looking out for him in the crowds. So they haven't been as long maybe as some of her other relationships, but they have been very, very tight and clearly very committed for since the beginning. And then, of course, she announced her new album, The Life of a Showgirl, very recently, actually, on his podcast. So if that is not the marriage of two media stars, I don't know what is, announcing a brand new album on his podcast. But there you go, yeah. So the wedding's coming up.
He stole the moment, Dave. I mean, they could have turned around and announced this engagement on the podcast if they'd just done this a week ago in this Rose Garden, where it appears there was a nice 4K camera to capture all the action perfectly as well.
Of course, yeah. I mean, listen, I dropped everything when I got the call to come on the radio to talk about this. I wasn't going to miss this. Are you kidding me? it's pretty incredible. There's actually, I'm looking now, there's a couple of live blogs. Newsweek has a live blog up, Page Six has a live blog up, and they're not that populated. So it's almost like there's not that much to say about this one. Look, I'm happy for them, but I have to say, this is the blandest celebrity romance we've been suffering through for quite some time. So this felt inevitable, and I hope it's real. I hope it's not a stunt. People still wonder if it is or if it isn't. But again, I just see corporate synergy here and brand synergy. But like I say, please don't get it twisted, Swifties. I do wish her well and her new beau as well. So congratulations to both.
Right, so Dave, before the Swifties come after both of us, right? Her best music always comes out after a breakup. It's going to be a hell of an album when this breaks up inevitably.
Have you heard Justin Timberlake's album Man of the Woods, which was kind of the nail in the coffin for him as an artist, as far as I'm concerned? And that album was all about how happy he is in his marriage. And don't get me wrong, I know there's been great points made about, like, musicians like James Blake, etc., have said stuff like, please don't treat us as, you know, avatars. We are, you know, yes, we make good art when we're upset, but we shouldn't have to be upset for you to be entertained. And he's dead right. At the same time, though, as you say, the best art kind of does come from heartbreak, so I just don't know what we're going to get here with this new
always,
album.
Though, is there not an argument to be said that she is aware of that, and that's why she's gone back to Max Martin as a producer, as opposed to doing another album with Jack Antonoff, who would be more known for the sort of breakup and introspective style of album?
Well, we'll wait until we hear it, but Max Martin, I will say, yes, I'm happy about it.
Yeah. Dee, are you hopeful about this new album being really good? I mean, everyone has kind of said, can Taylor Swift continue on? And every single time she seems to bring out something that's critically acclaimed and particularly sales-wise is acclaimed every time.
Honestly, I don't see why she can't. You know, I think, yes, look, that is a well-loved, even by myself, joke, the idea that breakups are very often the crux of a good album from an artist. But I would say that's not always been the case with her. I think the decision to go back to the poppier sound that she was known for before Folklore and the like is probably a very shrewd one, a very smart one, and actually maybe belies that this is the, she feels anyway, that this is the real thing for her, that she knows she's not going to have anything to be sad about for the next couple of years, so she might as well start re-engaging with that aspect of her catalogue.
Well,
with that's a lot of pressure on Travis, though, isn't it?
Just a bit. The other thing I was thinking about Travis is that with my sport hat on here, this is his last year with the Chiefs, almost certainly. Like, he's almost said, I want to give this one more go. Didn't happen for us last year. He wants to finish in the Super Bowl. He's going to be under our feet, Dave, by the end of next year.
Well, I think he's well able for it, to be fair. I say he's bland, and I think that's actually kind of a good thing for him, because it makes him quite safe to a mass audience outside of the gridiron. I mean, the podcast is popular even without the numbers being massively inflated, of course, by his most recent guests. So I have to assume he'll either run for local office or end up on a TV show. He kind of has it in him, doesn't he? He's very generically American.
Yeah, and the last thing you want to do is annoy the Swifties and have them coming for you if this marriage breaks up as well. So that's the determination to make it work, if nothing else. Before we talk about EP, do you want to get to your pick of the week, because you've got, you know, basically a chance to go solo on this one without John being here today. So what have you picked as your pick of the week for this week?
Yeah, and it is unfortunate that John isn't here, because the song is called Classic Rock Has Become My Prison, which would have been a great one to cover with him. It's by a Belfast quartet called Problem Patterns. It's a new single from their upcoming EP, Boring Songs for Boring People. It's coming out on September 12th. They describe it themselves as a chuggy parody turned rant following their last single, which actually spent 4 weeks on BBC's music list. So it's a slightly different one for me, but like they're a band that I've been aware of for a while, and I definitely think there could be good things to come with this upcoming EP, and certainly to my ear, this suggests it.
All right, let's have a listen. Dave, you fan of Problem Patterns?
I like what I hear, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have chose the Beatles myself, I will say. Had I got my pick in, I probably would have opted for Tebby Rex. Their final album is called Thin.
Oh, yeah.
Great way to go out for... A beautiful way for that hip-hop group to go out, and they are playing in Dublin, so if you one last chance to catch them. But, yeah, the Problem Patterns one is good. D always picks good stuff. Come on, it's never in
doubt. Cheers, Dave.
You've been farting.
What I do love about them is their sound is quite American. Some of their lyrics are as well. But then you can actually hear the Belfast accent coming through, and I just kind of love that.
Yeah, no, very, very nice indeed. We've got a record crowd is going to be going to Electric Picnic, because the capacity we heard from Elvin Ben a little earlier on, 80,000 is going to be the crowd this time around. It was 50,000 back 10 years ago in 2015. This is going to be year number 20 of the festival in Stradbally, of course, today FM. We're going to be there all weekend. We've got the Soundgarden stage up there as well. We've got some interesting acts here. I'm going to play a bit of Friday's headliner, which is going to be Chapel Roan. Here's Hot to Go. We'll be right back. course, the organizers will say there's no main eventer on any day. It's co-main eventers across the day. But I think, Dee, when I look at the breakdown of things, particularly on night one on Friday, I think they've been very realistic, the organisers, where effectively the stages don't get going until about half past six. And you've only got three acts on the main stage. You've got Hozier, Chaperone and Conan Gray in the first night. I guess there's an acceptance there that people are probably not going to go down for the full day on Friday, and you're maybe pitching your tent or your camper van and then tipping down for the evening.
Yeah, and isn't that a much better way to do it rather than have people perhaps stuck in traffic, having not been able to get out of work on time and absolutely losing their minds because the one act that they wanted to see that evening is already taken to the stage and they have yet to make it there. So I've been that soldier myself. So I'm delighted for people that they have taken that realistic approach. Personally, I would say there's an argument for a lot of people that you wouldn't have to leave the main stage between 8 p.m. and midnight if you didn't want to, because you'll have Chapel Row and followed by Hozier, which is a fantastic lineup there. And then things really start going, getting going around the rest of the festival. You've got Barry Can't Swim in the Electric Arena, Confidence Man at the Tree Music stage, and then, you know, a couple of other acts as well, like CP Waterhouse is an interesting one. That she is at 7, also on the Tree Music stage, just in case people aren't interested in seeing Chapel Roan, but I would be surprised by that myself.
Dave, who are you looking to see on Friday?
Well, I think Chaperone is the draw, to be fair. Like, I mean, she's become appointment viewing for so many people. I mean, even wasn't she playing like Three Olympia not too long ago? And it was just impossible to get into because those tickets were sold out before, and then her rise ascended like crazy. So I think she's the jewel in the crown this year, especially as far as headliners go, because I'm looking ahead to Sunday and I'm kind of like seeing the likes of Kings Leon and the Kooks, and I'm like, wait a minute, I went to Oxygen in 2008 and they were playing then. Are we still doing this? But Chaperone is a legitimate A-list superstar, and I'd be amazed if she doesn't break some kind of record in terms of crowd, because I remember being there a few years ago seeing Dua Lipa, and I think it was about 57,000 people. That was the record at the time. Then Billie Eilish came the year after. That was the record then. And the thing about Picnic, as you kind of alluded to at the very, very beginning here, is that it's all about expansion. Like, Melvin Benn's vision appears to be to make this Ireland's Glastonbury, like, you know, by just continuing to add new areas and, you know, expand the land. I don't know if that makes for the best festival myself. I tend to prefer them on the kind of quieter side, but that's just me being contrarian, I guess. I will say, if I was there on the Saturday, the Three Music stage looks pretty tasty now. There's a great kind of quartet back to back in the evening from 6:15 p.m. Basically, I would just stick there and I'd watch Black Country New Road, followed by For Those I Love, followed by Lord Huron, and then Marabou State at the top, who I wasn't that familiar with until I saw their Glastonbury performance on TV recently, and it was absolutely brilliant, very, very spellbinding. So, I mean, the best thing about a big festival, though, is that you can go from place to place and find something. But I always like to find a gem myself. That said, if you're not a Chaperone on Friday, why are you going to the festival?
Well, that's a very fair point, Dee. Go on.
I do think on Saturday, though, like, Kneecap are playing 3:30 to 4:30 on the main stage. I suspect that is going to be the talk of the Picnic, to be honest with you. I think the crowds for that are going to be huge.
Yeah, that's going to be rammed. Especially, yeah, as you said, the time it's on it as well. You might have decisions to make later on the evening, which of the stages you're going to go to. But main stage, that's going to be packed for those who want to get across in the mid-afternoon. And just, I guess, as well, all the hype around Kneecap currently as well. Like, one of the things, Dee, when I look through this, there is something kind of here for everyone. Like, Fatboy Slim will bring a certain audience. You look at, like, the two Johnnies are on in the afternoon on the Saturday as well. You spoke about Kneecap. You're talking about, say, Kingfisher, who've got really popular. Sam Fender is playing on the main stage on Saturday as well. Like, there's a fairly eclectic mix here when you are marking your card for what to go and see.
There is, and I think, you know, it's one thing that Electric Picnic has always been really, really good at doing is that sort of broad enough strokes that you have acts for everyone to see, but still interesting acts for everyone to see, if you get me, that it's not always the most obvious acts that you could get. I think, as well as that, they've also been fantastic at making sure that there is a healthy mix of up-and-coming or Irish talent alongside kind of international acts, which is a huge thing for those artists. And something that I've become really aware of going to festivals abroad, it is something we do particularly well in Ireland. And it's absolutely fantastic that that happens. Hmm. So, you know, if Kneecap don't float your boat, you could go see Just Mustard in the Electric Arena on Saturday. There's also Big Pig is playing at some point over the weekend, sorry, on Sunday in the Electric Arena as well. There's some really, and Orla Gartland playing the Three Music Stage a little bit later on in the evening. So some really, really good Irish acts that you wouldn't necessarily see their likes on a big stage at a festival in maybe Spain or France or whatever. But they do get that chance here.
They do. Dave, you already mentioned Kings of Leon might necessarily attract your interest when it comes to Sunday night. On Sunday, what are you looking to see?
Well, I mean, look, I've seen Kings of Leon live before, and it was okay, you know, it was fine, but it wouldn't really be my thing. I tell you one thing I do want to see on Sunday, right? Mm. I want to see what happens at the David Gray show, because as we know, he played Dublin a while ago, and there was some raucousness, you could say. He himself took to social media and was like, can we calm it down a bit, please? And that didn't really happen, despite him closing the bar at the next gig. So I do want to see if this phenomenon of David Gray gigs suddenly becoming the rowdiest thing in town actually travels to Laois. It might. And right before him, actually, you've got Noel and Mike Hogan from the Cranberries with the RTE Orchestra, which is a genuinely unique event. And I think it's, you know, like, it's, people are kind of wondering what that will even look and sound like. So there's definitely something to kind of be seen there. Dee mentioned
Big
Pig.
That's their first time performing as well since she passed away.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, it is.
So therefore, like, I mean, that on its own is a landmark moment for them. I'm sure they will get a crowd, but I hope people will kind of go down and support them, because obviously it's going to be emotional. Like I said, Big Pig was mentioned. She's brilliant, doesn't miss. I would absolutely, like, definitely go and see her. And beyond that, I would say, if I was to take a punt on perhaps, I mean, like, the Kingfisher thing interests me, I will say, because it's just come out of nowhere. It's massive. That will be one of the biggest crowds of the weekend as well. And I think it could be one of those situations where people are kind of singing the band themselves. Like, I've kind of looked on with a bit of, like, a raised eyebrow at it, but at the same time, like, the momentum is huge. And again, if you're there and if you're in the vicinity, I would definitely go along, even out of pure curiosity.
Yeah, I thought Killa was going to finish it, but it seems not. And again, when the hurling season finished, I thought that was the end of Killa, because they were on every single ad going. And now the Irish women's rugby team have started using it as their song in the dressing room. So again, it's back out this week. It seems that Killa is just going to continue and continue, and Kingfisher's popularity is kind of never ending as well. We're right up towards the end of the show. So I just want to mention as well that Today FM, of course, are going to be there across the weekend as well. We've got the Soundgarden, which is going to be bigger and better than ever as well. You're going to have performances from all your favourite presenters, including, I have it down here, Matt Cooper will be performing. I'm not sure exactly how. Dara Quilty's going to be there. He's getting ready to present in a few minutes' time. We've got Emma Nolan, KC, Claire Beck, Ben Murray. We've got Dave Moore, Louise Cantle, and Ian Dempsey. Some of them more experienced DJs than others. I might well go along and see what Matt Cooper is up to. I think I saw him in the podcast tent last year, and I'm kind of wondering what his set's actually going to be in the Soundgarden. So, might be DJing, possibly.
I think it is more music-based, from what I've heard.
Mm. There you
worth
go.
Going along to.
If you want to see me perform, I'm on Minefield with a podcast at 10:30 a.m. on Saturday, which is going to ruin my Friday's plans as well. So thanks to both Dave and to Dee for joining us on The Last Word of Music.
The Last Word on Today FM.